Yeah, could we, I could use, yeah.
Should this be lunch or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lunch? Okay. So we're going to take a break for lunch for.
Quickly, 15 minutes?
15 minutes or so. There is a cafe.
Oh. If you want to get out of here.
Case number 23741. All set?
Yes.
Your name for the record?
Thank you, Captain Douglas Sauve, Connecticut State Police, S-A-U-V-E.
Opening statement?
Thank you. This, excuse me, revocation stems from an incident on, in 2023, on 1/27/2023, in which the appellant threatened to harm himself with a handgun, held it to his temple, cocked it, and said if his girlfriend at the time left him, he would kill himself. The girlfriend managed to talk the appellant down, and he put the gun back in the bed, and the case under the bed. However, it is the state's position that not enough time has elapsed since this incident occurred to reissue, to reverse the revocation. Thank you.
Your brief statement?
It was, alcohol was definitely involved in that incident that night. I have not touched a drop of alcohol since that night. I knew the weapon was unloaded. I was just using it as an example of to show her, you know, how serious I was about her to not leave me. I would never harm myself.
Okay, that's a good beginning statement.
Thank you. If I may, I would like to do direct on the appellant. Sir, this incident you just described, did you brandish the weapon at your girlfriend at the time at all?
I did not. Pointed at her, no.
Oh, you didn't point it at her, but were you waving it around in a manner?
I was holding it up, yes.
Holding it up, okay. Do you think she felt threatened at the time, or?
I'm sure she was scared, yes.
She was scared, okay. And then you held it to your temple, the weapon?
Yes.
And were you committed as part of this event? By committed, I mean, did you receive psychological treatment or hospitalization?
I ended up having to go to the psych ward in the hospital.
Okay, yes. And what was the result of that?
I explained to them what happened, and they couldn't understand why that happened on a Friday, why I was on, they didn't get called into to on a Monday. And I explained to them, I said, I'd never planned on hurting myself.
Mm-hmm. Did you receive any follow-up treatment after that hospitalization?
I started seeing my doctor regularly. I finally agreed to talk to a therapist about what was going on, and we found an underlying problem that I had on my shoulder for 50 years. Mm. And once I got rid of that, it was like a monkey off my back. I am a completely different person now.
Are you continuing to seek treatment?
No, because he was so happy with, as far as the progress that I made, he was gonna use my case as an example in front of all his colleagues about how far a person can come.
Have you consumed alcohol at all since?
I have not touched alcohol, and I have no plans to.
And when was the last time you consumed alcohol?
January 27th.
That day?
That day, I have not touched alcohol.
Okay.
I cut my friends out of my life. My friends that I thought were my friends were just drinking buddies. Mm-hmm. I surrounded myself with a whole group of different people.
Different people. Okay, nothing further.
Okay.
Did you want to ask him any questions?
No.
Question from the board.
Captain, just so there was a police emergency committal, which
yes.
was followed up, I'm assuming, by a risk protection order?
There was, yes.
Yep, and that was the basis of the revocation?
That
initial.
Was, yes.
Yep. And
combined with the suitability aspect.
Yeah, yeah, but initially it was the revocation,
yes.
based on the risk protection.
Revocation.
Yep, and right. now we're here for suitability. And who made the complaint? Who called the police that night, if you recall?
This was the girlfriend at the time who then later spoke to the Closter Police Department in New Jersey and issued a written statement to them regarding these events.
Okay, and based on that statement, I guess that must have been relayed to New Fairfield?
That was, yes, yep. our constable in that town who operates under the troop through the resident yep. troop program.
And that's where the incident occurred, was at the appellant's residence in New Fairfield?
That is correct.
Just getting a few things, just to... And it was the appellant's girlfriend or significant other that seems to be here today, because she keeps waving her finger.
I know, that's sorry.
Fine. No, that's fine. That's fine. She's the one who gave the statement and actually witnessed the appellant put the firearm to his head.
I believe that to be the case, yes. Yeah. I don't know the party here.
Okay. That's it. Thank you. That's
any,
all I had.
Any other questions?
Goodies waving.
Yes.
Detective Johnson.
Did the state ask the appellant for any notes from a psychiatric provider?
I would refer to the appellant. There is a little procedural issue with our case here.
Okay. Thank you.
Did they, sir, ask you for any?
I believe they did, but he was like, we didn't really, because I wasn't suicidal.
Did you provide the detective from State Police with the...
I sent them all the paperwork.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'm not going to make belabor that issue because it is not included in the packet, which is procedurally unusual for us.
Yes. If I might add, he did, the doctor did put on that it was resolved.
Okay.
Yeah, but there are a lot of emergency room or follow-up visits, but nothing from a doc saying, I know you had a gun, you want your gun back, and you're suitable, safe. There's no statement like that.
Nor is there anything from the inpatient. Right?
Yeah, and that's what the state would be asking you for, something from a treating physician who knows you or has evaluated you, knows it involves a firearm, knows about the incident involved, as you very forthright about talking about it.
I'm sure we could provide that.
Well, you say that. A lot of the doctors are reluctant to sign something like that.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's very difficult,
yeah.
but it can be done. But that's the type of thing that
okay.
the state would have been asking for and would be very powerful for the board.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry.
What would you like to say? Your case.
I think I'm a pretty good guy, and I just had a bad day. Made some bad decisions. Made a bad decision that night.
Are you a veteran?
I am not a veteran. I've worked for the city of Danbury for the last 25 years. I have no incidents, never been written up.
What do you do there?
I'm the head mechanic in the Park and Recs department. And I plow snow in the wintertime, and so I work some long hours. I take my job seriously. It keeps a roof over my head, puts clothes on my body, food in my belly.
And do you have a witness with you?
Yes.
Yes, Susan. I'm the witness. I'm the one who calls.
Because you were scared.
I was. He was, you know, I just want to say that he's never, ever been violent or ever done anything like that in the several years that I was with him. At that time, he was drinking a lot. It was, at the time, it was very scary. I didn't really fear for my life, per se, but I was worried about him. And, you know, I never experienced anything like that before, and that was why I left him immediately after that day. But I was worried about him because I knew he'd be very upset about me leaving him and just seeing that situation. That's why I went to the police, just so they could make sure he was okay. But like I said, it was a completely isolated incident, and he did seek therapy. I mean, he willingly went to the hospital, which they had said that he needed to do with the police. He did agree to therapy, which found the underlying issue of his alcoholism. And he did stop drinking after that incident. I wasn't with him for a long time after that, but I did get back with him because...
But you're together now?
We're together, we're engaged, and it's wonderful. When he wasn't drinking, I don't want to get upset. He's the most wonderful person I've ever met in my life. Sorry.
It's okay.
And just the alcohol was just bad. And he was really excessively drinking, and there was an issue from when he was young that he got to the root of, and that one day was his low point, and that turned him around. Sorry, I didn't expect to get emotional. That turned him around, and he hasn't drank since. I know for a fact he wouldn't drink again because he knows that it's detrimental to our relationship and just his well-being. But it was an isolated incident. He's never, ever taken his gun out. He's an extremely responsible person. And unfortunately, it was just one really bad decision made that night due to alcohol.
Maybe that's what he needed to turn it
around. It absolutely was, yeah.
Do you have questions for?
No, no further questions.
Questions from the board?
Who are we asking questions of? The board didn't have an opportunity to ask the appellant any questions.
So we're now asking questions of either of them.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, it was unusual because he called the appellant as
his
witness. Yeah. So we were asking. I'll blame myself. So we started this. What precipitated this incident?
I was under the impression that she was out fooling around on me, which she really wasn't. And I. Guys I was hanging out with, the area where I grew up, everybody's father was a New York City cop. And those guys, you understand what I mean. They're tough, and they always go to the extreme, make you think the worst, pound it on your head. And they got to me, trying to say, oh, she's cheating on you, she's doing this, she's doing that.
But that specific day, that Friday, were you out drinking somewhere? Were you drinking at home?
I was drinking at home.
Okay.
She went out to go meet a friend for dinner, and I drank too excessively.
Okay. And then she came home. Walk me through. I don't need
detail,
but this is why we're here today, is because you pointed up, you're under the influence and pointed a firearm in your head, scared her enough to call the police.
So. Yeah, I started yelling at her. I can't remember everything I said because I was that inebriated, but I know I got to the point where I did go into the spare bedroom to get away from her to try and stop what was happening, and then I said to myself, I know what I'll do. I said, I'll go get my gun and I'll show her how serious I am about her if she's going to leave me. I made sure the gun wasn't loaded, and that's when I held the gun up. I racked it, and she heard that, and that's when she came upstairs.
And then you pointed at your head?
Yes, and then I said, if you leave me, I might hurt myself. But all the time, knowing I was never going to do that.
Yep. So really under the influence and decided to start playing with your gun.
Yeah.
And we've heard more than one case in which, especially being under the influence, you're racking that slide, you think you're racking the round out, you're actually taking one out of this magazine and putting it into the chamber instead.
Yes.
So your statement saying you're sure it wasn't loaded,
there was no magazine in it.
Just makes me a little.
And there was no bullets in the magazine.
You're saying you're so inebriated, you're.
but I knew, because I didn't keep that gun loaded in the house.
Were there other firearms in the house?
Yes.
That were they loaded?
Yes, but they were locked.
Okay. So she called, I guess it sounds like on Monday.
Yes.
That's when the constables came.
Yes.
Did emergency committal.
Yes.
Seems like you've been through. We have a bunch of discharge notes. Maybe the doctor can weigh in. I'm hoping. And just my question is, what follow up? How did you get from? It seemed like your statement was either you're an alcoholic or what are you doing now to make me feel more comfortable that you are no longer that you're not going to relapse? It's only been 2 years.
I won't relapse. I'm going to be 57 years old. Yep. I'm almost at the end of the game here.
So how long were you an alcoholic?
Since I've been probably drink.
So that's a long time.
Something happened to me when I was 5 years old, and I carried the weight of that on my shoulder for 50 years.
Nope, what I'm saying is you're an alcoholic a long time.
Yes.
And I believe you believe that, but what are you doing now to make sure?
I've surrounded myself with people that were former alcoholics, and they reach out. We all reach out to each other all the time. We all the time checking on each other. How you doing today? Doing good. May not be every single day, but at least once a week. There was a girl that I went to school with, and she's one of the ones I mainly reach out to because my best friend growing up helped her. And this is somebody when I was growing up, when I was getting back to the friends that were near, fathers or New York City cops, he had 3 DUIs before he was 18 years old. He had 5 when he was before he was 21. And he totally turned his life around. And she was telling me about, what an influence he was on her and whatnot. Unfortunately, he passed away 5 years ago from cancer. But she reached out to me, and I was like, I know he helped her. Mm-hmm. I know how important he was in my life, so I rely on her for a lot. And she does, but I've got coworkers I work with. That, hey, how you doing? You're good? I'm good. And now I'm starting to do the same thing. I'm starting to, check on people and see how they're doing.
And you don't see those friends
anymore. And I don't see those friends anymore, because like I said, they weren't friends. The guys I was hanging out with, they were drinking buddies.
Participate in AA at all?
No, I did not want to. I did feel I needed God to tell me that was the answer to solve my alcoholism.
How long were you in the hospital?
One night.
So were you actually admitted to the psychiatric ward, or were you fully evaluated in the emergency department?
I was fully evaluated overnight in the hospital in the psych ward.
We don't know the right terminology. They took him in that day. He was there overnight. They let him out the next day. They said it was just something they had to do.
The records that I reviewed were emergency department records. I didn't see any records of you actually being admitted to a floor, the psychiatric ward of the hospital. Were you in the emergency department the whole time?
No, I was in the psych ward.
So we don't have...
But isn't there a psych part of the emergency room that
I don't know.
You were in?
There's a psychiatric suite.
That's what
different from the inpatient unit.
Because I don't
what
think...
What hospital was it?
Danbury.
I don't think he was, admitted. I think it was one of those...
I had to wear a paper gown and, take all my...
Sounds like you were in the emergency
That's
department.
What I think,
Most
yeah.
emergency departments have a separate little area for psychiatric or substance abuse evaluations. Different from people who are being evaluated
yep.
for stroke or traumatic injuries
right.
or gallbladders that have burst, things of that sort. So there was not an inpatient stay from the records that were included in the packet. They're all emergency room visits and then subsequent follow-up visits with a primary care physician
and the therapist.
And maybe the therapist.
What I could glean
in reviewing those.
Are there records from the therapist?
Not really detailed records. Again, treatment notes are protected health information. They require a special release in Connecticut. Progress notes that show a date and time and duration of visit are required to be kept separate from any analysis of what goes on in a therapy session. So these are just printouts from an electronic health record documenting instances of care.
Yes, sir.
It's clear from the emergency room record at the time of the incident that you were there for an extended period of time, so there are notes from one doctor who then went off shift, a general medical doctor in the ED. Another general medical doctor in the ED took over. They cleared you medically and then sent you to the psychiatric section of the ED, and then you're discharged from the psychiatric section of the ED.
Okay.
Our board sends you a letter saying if mental health is an issue, to provide documentation maybe from a provider, and that's what I was asking you earlier, but you don't have that, right? You don't have a letter from a provider?
Not at this time, I don't.
Okay, and that's also important. When the colonel was asking you questions about the unloaded gun, you seemed to dismiss that, but I just want you to understand, from our experience and from mine, every accidental discharge I've ever heard of is an unloaded gun. Everyone thinks it's unloaded until the round goes off, or they wouldn't have done it, so.
Right.
We have to treat a gun as if it's loaded at all times and no full round.
Any other questions from the board? I guess I have scrambled the procedure here. Did I give you a chance to finish?
Yes, hi, Casey.
I have nothing else to say.
A final statement from you?
No, I'm good.
Our brief summary is that while the appellant's recovery is remarkable, I think, what we've heard today, it is too close temporally in time, and we don't, as Chief Wozenswag pointed out, have the records that we need, I think, to make a determined decision. We know they were solicited. I don't have a full disclosure in my packet of whether they're provided, but I think the appellant did say that was not provided. So I think the board is left up to its discretion in this matter. Thank you.
Well, I have a procedural question for you and for the board. Mm-hmm. If he was to come up with some of the records that would support his case, can he reapply to you?
He absolutely could reapply if the board denies the appeal.
But not to the state police.
He doesn't apply to them. Right?
He would apply to the new Fairfield Police Department for a new permit.
Okay.
He would still be in revocation status, so he could try to get it reinstated with the SLFU, and then barring that, he would be able to reapply and come
to
us again.
Mm. Okay, thank you. You can tell I'm sort of new at this job. We have final statements from both of you?
Yep.
Yes.
Colonel Overton? Yep.
This is a revocation by the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. The revocation was based on a risk protection order from an incident that occurred on January 27th of 2023. It is now a suitability case. The appellant was at his residence. he was drinking. He was under the influence of alcohol. Got into an argument with his significant other. While under the influence, he retrieved a firearm, racked the slide, and put it to his head in an attempt to frighten his significant other. She, three days later, contacted the police department where she lived in, gave a statement to them for concerns about the well-being of the appellant. An emergency committal was done by the New Fairfield Police Department. The appellant was brought to New Fairfield, Danbury Hospital for evaluation.
Any other questions from the board? Comments?
I just have a comment. First of all, I want to congratulate you for your sobriety, and
thank you.
I wish you continued success with that in the years to come. I found that you gave a very credible presentation, and the woman who was involved in the event, now your fiance, was here to support you. I do think it's myself that it's early to make a decision regarding a return of a permit, but would just remind you that if you do seek in the future to reapply, that it would be valuable to go back to the therapist that you saw and explain to him that that you're seeking a permit and you would like give him all the details and ask him if he feels comfortable writing a letter of support with a current evaluation of your mental state, his opinion, if he has one, on your ability to remain sober, and use that in your own behalf going forward.
Okay.
Colonel Overton, for anyone else, comments? A vote. Dr. Conrad?
I'm just going to vote for the issuing authority at this time.
Colonel Overton?
Issuing authority at this time.
Colonel Lewis?
Issuing authority.
Issuing authority.
Issuing authority.
Issuing authority. With the hope that in fact there's success coming.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
And great progress. Thank you.
Thank you.